Everybody glad that God showed out.
Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We praise God for you today. Listen, God is still in the blessing business. Can I get a witness? Yes, he is. Bright Star, we know that we do things in excellence. And so once again, for the fourth year in the row, we have been the top performing summer camp in the city of Cincinnati. Amen. 2019, 2018, 2017, 2014, we have been the top performing camp, summer camp, in the city of Cincinnati. We praise God for that. And we've been working with Whole Again, and they acknowledge to Bright Star Community Church for 11 years of faithful service as a Whole Again site partner, feeding the mind, body, and spirit of our youth. Amen. And they gave us this certificate as well. And we praise God for that, but we couldn't do it without God. Can I say that again? We couldn't do it without God. God has been the one who has been making ways. So glad he did. Making ways out of no ways, providing the finances that he does so that we will be able to have a top performing summer camp. God just makes many different ways, and he does so many things that we're just thankful and grateful for. From the fact that we had over 90 kids that was registered this summer. Amen. Amen. And to be able to take care of them for 9 weeks during the summertime. Amen. And then to be able to provide breakfast, lunch, dinner, no, not dinner, just breakfast and lunch. Sometime it came close because some parents forgot to come pick up their kids. Amen. And next thing we know, the kids there to 5:30, almost 6 o'clock. But we praise God that we didn't lose any kids this year. Amen. We didn't lose any kids. All children was returned back safe and sound to their parents. Amen. That's a good thing. Amen. We had no major injuries. Amen. That's a prayer. Y'all just don't know. Y'all just think that stuff supposed to happen like that naturally. No, no, no. You go through a summer and don't have any major accident with a child. That's a praise the Lord. Amen. I heard of some camps, I wouldn't want to be in their predicament, in their situation. Well, but they go on summer camp and they go on camping trips and stuff, and kids die in the lake and all kind of accidents happen. They falling off horses and carrying on and all this kind of. We had no major injuries this year. That's a praise the Lord. We take them to the water park. We take them to the swimming pool. We take them. They go out and do exercise every morning. We walk. Our kids walk. We ain't in the luxury of being in the suburbs. Every time they go somewhere, they get into a bus or a car. No, our kids walk from here to Bank Street. They walk from here over to, what's that street over there? I don't even know. Dunlap. They walk over to Dunlap through the city. That's a praise the Lord. Our staff know how to stand in the middle of the street and stop traffic. Amen. They know how to make sure our kids get there safe and sound and get back. I think we have one of the most healthiest camps in the city because we do a lot of walking. Lord mercy, they do a lot of walking. Amen. They get a lot of exercise, and that's part of the program is fitness as well. So it's academics, athletics, and fun. That's the three criteria for our summer camp, which makes it great for us each and every year. And so we just praise God for that and the things that he is doing in our summer camp, but I couldn't do that without a great staff of people, one of which is here. Amen. I know she's coming this morning. Katora was great help this year with our kids as well. Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Give her some encouragement. Amen. Amen. And also, Brother Brian was our camp director. Amen. Y'all give him some encouragement. As I said, but we had a whole host of people that worked behind the scenes, like First Lady, Sister Yvette. They took care of all the registration, ordering buses, setting up field trips, doing all that kind of stuff. And so we just praise God for who He is and the things that He was able to do. Amen. I got Sister Ella. I'm coming around. Yeah, because somebody got to take care of the food. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Ella made sure food was taken care of every day. As I said before, her favorite word was sanitize. Amen. Every kid that came up there, make sure you sanitize. She wouldn't let you come in her kitchen unless you sanitize. Amen. Even Dom learned how to sanitize and get his hands clean. You got to sanitize. But we had a great staff this year, and I just praise God for our donors. I will tell you, Bright Star, here's the facts. Summer camp this year cost us over $55,000. Amen. $55,000. But not one dime came out of the church treasury. All monies was raised through donations, foundations, and grants that was given to the church specifically for our summer program. That's why we continue to be the number one top performing program in the city of Cincinnati, is because we have great people, great donors who believe in the work that we're doing for our children and for families, who give unselfishly to the work that we do here during our summer camp. And I just praise God for that. Because as a church individually, we could not do it on our own. And God knows we need His help. And through the help of the Holy Spirit, we're able to do the work that we're able to do. Our staff people are paid. You can't ask nobody to volunteer with kids for 9 weeks for free. Just can't do it. Can't do it. Amen? Can't do it. And so therefore, God has provided a way that we're able to support our staff and to pay them a little stipend for their hard work during the summer. And then the field trips, they go on 5 field trips that are paid for. Those teenagers go to Camp Sedine for free. Camp Sedine alone is $275 by itself. But they're able to go there for free because they're in our camp. That's just a praise of the Lord. Maybe I'm just the only one excited about that, because I'm up close and personal and I see it every day. But I bet you if God was to drop $55,000 in your house out of nowhere that you didn't have to work for, seeds that you didn't have to plant, gathering stuff that you didn't have to gather, putting some stuff and laying it in your lap, I think you'll be a little more excited than where you are right now. Let God drop $55,000 in your lap in the morning. You go and look at your bank account, and it's $55,000 in your bank account. I think somebody in here just might shout just a little bit about the goodness of God and who He is. Amen. But we look at it as a spectator sport. And so we sit on the sideline and just watch it go by. We might get excited and we may not. But I will tell you this, God's program goes on with you or without you. And so I just praise God to be in the blessing that He is for those who are ready to do the work. Amen? Amen. So we praise God for you. I'm just going to read a scripture. I'm just going to zero in on Luke chapter 8, verse 23. Amen. I'm just going to go right there. I'm not going to read all the scripture. All the scriptures have been read in your hearing. The ministers and deacons did a great job in reading. Y'all did read all 3 scriptures, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Amen. They read the scripture already in detail. So I'm going to zero in just on the text, the scripture text coming in at Luke chapter 8, verse 23. And I need you to pay attention to this verse right here, because this is the heart of everything that I will be talking about today. And it says, as they sailed, He fell asleep. Talking about Jesus. Look at somebody and tell them Jesus went to sleep. And that might be unusual for you to hear, Because most of the time you hear about Jesus performing miracles. You hear about Jesus walking along the seashore. You hear about Jesus doing things. But here in this particular section of text, it says, as they sailed, he fell asleep, which shows his human side of him, that he was both human and God. Amen? Can I get a witness? He was both human and God. And so therefore it said he fell asleep. How many of you get tired? Anybody in here get tired? Don't play with me now, because there's sometime I see you sleep in church. Amen. 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 And so we get tired. This just goes to show the human side of Christ, that he get tired. He got tired. Amen. He got tired. He got tired. And therefore, the Bible said, as they sailed, he fell asleep. Now, if you were to read the scriptures before that, you will see why he was tired. After a day of healing everybody, after a day of going around doing good, after a day of doing the work God has called him to do, he got tired. That's why I tell people who are in ministry, who is working in ministry, take a break. Amen. Amen. Look at somebody. Tell them, take a break. Some of us look like we need to take a break right now. Amen. Amen. Take a break. Take a break. Don't work yourself in the ground. Jesus got on the boat and he told them, he said, let us go to the other side of the lake. Amen. So they got in the boat and they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped. And they were in great danger. Yeah. Amen? Amen. In danger. Look at somebody, tell them in danger. Yeah. But tell them this, Jesus was asleep. Mm. Yeah. This morning I want to talk about the storms of life. The storms of life. Amen? Yeah. Now, I will say this. Some of you received my whole message.
Yeah.
I mean everything. Uh-huh. I mean everything. Y'all got what I'm about to preach. Uh-huh. Some of y'all got that in your email. Yeah. That was a mistake. Amen. You wasn't supposed to get all that. Amen. That was supposed to come to me and me only. But some of y'all got it. Amen. In your email. I know some of you ministers probably got nervous. Probably like, oh, Pastor Mike called me this morning because he sent me the message already. No. You look at them. Look, they all got nervous. They all got nervous because they got the message. No. You got it. I pushed the wrong button. Amen. I clicked the wrong button, and instead of clicking myself only, I clicked my blast. So a whole lot of people got everything. My message, the PowerPoint. Amen. All of it. Got all of it. Stuff y'all ain't supposed to be seeing. Amen. Y'all got all of it. Amen. Amen. So you can pull up on your phone. You can see me preach today if you want to. It's on there. It's on there. Amen. Amen. But I want to talk about the storms of life. I don't know what storms in your life you've had to face, whether they were literal storms or figurative storms. Literal storms may be you might be on the sea, might be on land. You might be in the snow, because we have snow in Cincinnati. Amen. Maybe in the ice. Anybody ever been in an ice storm? Lord Jesus, have you ever been caught driving in an ice? It's pretty much nothing you can do. Snow you can get around. Ice, just park the car and just sit it out. Amen. Ain't nothing you can do in an ice storm. Many of us experienced storms in Cincinnati. Just this last week, we had a storm in Cincinnati and three people got struck by lightning in Spring Grove Cemetery. Two of them passed away. Amen. In Spring Grove Cemetery in this last storm we had. Storms are dangerous, are they not? Can I get a witness? Whether it's the rain or the wind, typhoons or hurricanes. And some of us, I'm sure, can tell some stories when storms was raging back in the day. Back in the day, I remember we had to just be quiet.
Turn the lights off.
Turn the lights off. Go sit down somewhere. What grandma would say, be quiet. God's handling his business. Yep. Don't play with me. Some of y'all know y'all had to be quiet. Grandma wasn't playing. Thundering and lightning outside. And every time it thundered, we shaking and everything. Because grandma would make us be quiet. TV go off. Y'all gonna blow up the TV. Turn the TV off. Amen. Turn the TV off. Turn the lights off. Sit down while God handling his business. Amen. Back in the day, storms were something else. But now with all of our modern technology, storms come. We think we're safe. But let me tell you something. Your storms that come in the world today, they still can tear some stuff up. Just ask Dayton, Ohio. Amen. Just ask the people who lived in New Orleans when Katrina came through. And we're just fortunate that Darren, is that what it was this time? Dorian this time didn't hit land in Miami, in Florida. But it tore up the Bahamas. The Bahamas is done. Storms are very dangerous. Can I get a witness? Amen. Some of us might have stories of survival. Amen. But since you're here this morning and alive and well, somebody should give God a praise, because some of the storms in your life, the devil actually tried to kill you. But look at somebody and tell them, I made it. No, tell them, I survived. See, that's one thing the devil don't like to hear in your life, is that you survived. Where are my survivors at? Amen. You survived. When the enemy tried to come up against you, you still survived. Amen. A storm can be a figurative storm, an unexpected financial crisis. Anybody ever look at your bank account and it was zero? No. It was beyond. Wait a minute. You owed the bank some money. Can I get real in here? Amen. You owed the bank money. Matter of fact, you took out of the account more than you had in it. And they sent you a bill saying you owe money to yourself. Lord Jesus. And then they charge you for owing yourself money. I look at it like, it's my money, so why do I charge interest on my money? I'm going to pay myself back, so why should I have to? I don't want no interest on the money I owe myself. But they make you do it anyway. Storm, a figurative storm could be an illness. Anybody ever been in a hospital? That happened all of a sudden? Amen. I tell you, young man named Brian Young, he was the church network director for CityLink Center before I started. And I saw him one day because his kids went to Calvary School out there where I live at, and I saw him. And we pulled over to the side of the road, started talking. I said, Brian, you all right? He said, well, Pastor Strayhorn, I got this pain in my stomach. I'm going to go to the doctor to see what it is. Come to find out, he went to the doctor. He had stage 4 cancer and didn't know it. 2 weeks later, Brian Young died. Wow. Good young man in his mid-30s. Had 2 kids, beautiful wife, and he died. I struggled with that for a minute because I questioned God. Here's a young man doing your will, working for the Lord, doing everything right. God, I don't understand that. There's some folks I can call out right now, God. Yeah. You can take them right this minute. And a whole lot of folks will probably be happy about it or probably won't even care that they're gone. But this young man was doing your will. And he told me, I'm God. I had to be quiet. A year after that, I'm doing the job that he was supposed to be doing. Storms come in our lives in all kinds of ways. For him, it was sickness. A storm can be a loss of a job. Anybody ever lost a job? Amen. It was devastating at first. Amen. But God then showed you and provided for you and said, I got another way for you. How many of you glad you lost that job? Because now where you are, amen. Storms can be in a marriage, in a relationship that's on the rocks. Things ain't going too well. Things are upsetting and all that kind of stuff. But God is able. Whatever it is, a storm is a situation that you find yourself in that make you feel helpless. You feel that if someone doesn't do something, you may not make it. You may not make it at all. I don't know what storms you've been through, but I do know that all of us at some time or another have had an experience in which we felt our life It's so tiny that we're being tossed like a canoe in the middle of an ocean, tossed around as if in the middle of a storm that would not go away, with our lives in danger, with chaos threatening, and at any moment it can undo us and rip our life away and throw us in every direction. This morning, if you've ever been in a storm, if you're ever in a storm, I want to talk to you just for a little while. The disciples were in a storm in our scripture, in our reading today, and I just want to take a closer look at the storm that happened to them. The first thing I want to look at is the crisis. Because whenever a storm comes, there is a crisis. Amen. There came down a storm of wind and they were filled with water. But notice the storm didn't come until Jesus went to sleep. Can I stay there for a half a second? Hello, 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 hello. The storm came when he thought Jesus was asleep. Anytime the devil, you see the devil trying to kill Jesus, it's when he thinks Jesus ain't going to notice what's trying to go on. Right. Hello, 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 hello. In this instance, Jesus fell asleep, then the storm came. Right. How many of you know the devil wish he can catch you off guard? Catch you sleeping. The Bible said you better watch and pray. Can I get a witness? You better watch and pray. Jesus fell asleep. Then the storm came. This was no ordinary breeze blowing. This wasn't like a nice calm breeze coming through and you enjoy, anybody enjoy a nice breeze every now and then? This wasn't a nice breeze. This was like Hurricane Dorian, Hurricane Andrew, Hurricane Katrina. Luke writes here that Luke said the storm was so bad that the ship was full of water. Mark wrote on his account of the story that the waves was beating up against the ship, that it was full of water. Matthew wrote down on his account that the waves covered the ship. So you see that this was one serious storm that was going on. They had a crisis on their hand. You got to understand, these guys were experienced fishermen, but they was panicking like frightening little children. The ship was full of water, the waves was high, and the boat was rocking back and forth, and they was headed to the bottom of the sea. They could not get the water out fast enough. The more water they tossed out, the more water that came in. Have you ever felt like this? That the storms of life are blowing so hard that you're about to sink because you can't handle the wind and the rain anymore. Have you gotten to the point that you're being ready to throw in the towel, ready to lose your mind? The disciples knew that what was going on and they was going through, but they didn't think they were going to make it. They thought they was going to die. Listen to what they said. Jesus, don't you care? There's some storms that come in our lives out of nowhere. And we don't know what to do or if it will ever end. All it takes is a phone call for a storm to come in your life. Hello, somebody. Phone call. This is the school calling. Your child was in a serious accident. Storm. Phone call. Hello. Yes, this is the Cincinnati Police Department. Your spouse was involved in a very dangerous car accident. Storm. Phone call. That's all it takes is a phone call. Phone call. Hello, this is Walmart manager. We had a mass shooting and we found your name in somebody's phone and we just thought we'd call you. Phone call. This is the nightclub. We was having a good time. Somebody came in and shot up the place. Storm. Storm. That's all it takes. Some of us have had some storms and all we can do is cry because we're too scared to do anything else. Some of us may even be facing the crisis of a storm right now and we're not sure how or if we will ever get out of it. But during every crisis, we have to remember the promises of God. Jesus said, let us go to the other side of the lake, not die in the storm. Can I get a witness? When God sets your course, you will make it to your intended end. When there's a call on your life, God is going to fulfill that call. I don't care who get in your way. I don't care what try to stop you. I don't care how many years it takes. But when there is a call on your life, God will fulfill the call and you will make it to your intended destination. Jesus told him at the very beginning, let us go to the other side of the lake. Now, we got to clearly understand that as I read some of the commentators, they said, you got to understand what was on the other side of the lake. I'll get to that in a minute. That was the destination that Jesus claimed. As far as Jesus was concerned, the end of the boat ride was the other side of the lake, not the bottom of the lake, not in the middle of the lake, not almost getting there. But Jesus said, let us go to the other side of the lake. If Jesus have given you a destination, he's going to be in your boat to make sure you reach your destination. If you put your trust in him, the lesson Jesus will have all of us to learn is the word works. But we have to work with the word. Hello, somebody. The disciples had seen Jesus, who is the word. Stay with me now. Who is the word? They seen Jesus, who is the word, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. But this day, Jesus wanted them to learn how to work with the word for themselves. Some of us have been in church. We've seen miracles after miracles, signs and wonders after signs and wonders. And now when something happened in our life, Jesus wants to know, can you handle it? Hello, somebody. He want to know, can you handle the storm that was in your life? To work with the word, can I say this? Can I say this? To work with the word is to live beyond the dictates of your circumstances. To work with the word is to act like God told the truth, even though the world don't look like it. Working with the word does not ignore the circumstances. It just looks beyond them to something greater than what's going on now. Can I have a witness? Can I have a witness? Can I have a witness? Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. If they had been working with the word, when the storm came, they would have just lifted up hands in their voices and said, praise be unto God. We're going to the other side. Come hell or high water, we're going to the other side. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. God said it. I believe it. That settled it. So the storm got to do one or two things. Either get out of my way, or I'm just going to go through. But something's got to happen because Jesus promised that we're going to the other side. The disciples was facing a crisis. But notice their cry. What was the cry? And awoke him saying, Master, comma, Master, we perish. In other words, they already spoke death. Shut up. We perish. Perish means I'm done. Perish means it's over. Perish means ain't nothing left. And when you call somebody two times, that means you really... you call somebody twice. And they didn't call him Jesus. They call him... Shut up. They call him Master. Amen. If I've been hanging with Jesus for, at this point in time, they've been with him about 16 months. And they're saying Master. Why? Because they seen him master some stuff. He's mastered sickness. Hello, somebody. He mastered death. Yes, he did. He mastered disease. Amen. So now they call him by his real name, Master. Master, Master. We perish. If there's one thing the disciples did right during this storm, is that they went to the only person who can handle the situation they was going through. They didn't call their mamas. They didn't call their daddies. They didn't call their aunties, their uncles. They didn't call Oprah. They didn't call Dr. Phil. They called on the Master. Too many times I cry, it's to the wrong people, and we get our hearts broken. We get disappointed because the person we thought we would call on would be the person that would help us in our situation. But we come to find out they got problems too. They cried in him and said, we all going to die if you don't help us. If there's one thing we need to learn, it's to call on the name of Jesus. Things happen when you call on the name. Things change when you call on his name. Either the situation change or you change. Sometimes the situation can stay the same, but my attitude changes. I may be in a mess, but I ain't a mess. Shut up, straight horn. Yeah. Everybody else may be tripping, but I ain't going on the trip. Amen. Everybody else might be settled in the status quo, but God has promised me something different than what I see right now. Are any of you deep sleepers? You can tell the truth. Amen. Where are my deep sleepers at? Hey, that's right. Just tell the truth. You want them deep sleepers? Amen. You want them deep sleepers? Amen. Because if you one of those people who can sleep through a tornado, then you like Jesus. Amen. You like Jesus. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. He was asleep doing all of this going on the ship. He was a deep. You like Jesus in at least one way. Jesus was knocked out. Gone. Here the disciples are fighting for their lives in a storm, trying to bail water out for all that they was worth, and Jesus just sleeping away. Did I hear somebody say peacefully? He'll give you peace in the midst of a storm. And Jesus was demonstrating what he's able to do. Hello. He's asleep. Have you ever wondered how Jesus could still be sleeping while all of this was going on? No, not my deep sleepers. Y'all already know. Just turn it off. Just shut it down. Nothing's going on. Just shut it down. Here it is, the boat full of water, but he's still sawing logs. The rain was falling, thunder was booming, but yet Jesus just slept on. Can you imagine? Have you ever felt like the Savior was sleeping while the storm was on in your life? Have you ever felt like Job, who said in Job 23:8-9, but if I go to the east, he is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. In other words, Job said, I'm going through all this hell and I can't find nobody to help me. Done lost my kids, done lost my health, done lost my wife, done lost my friends. Everything is gone. I'm sitting on a pile of heat. I got sore boils from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I can't even find the God that I worship, the God that I serve. Seems like he's gone. Nobody to help me in my situation. There'll be times when you may feel like God is not near, but in those times, we can rest assured that God's presence is still right there with us. Jesus asked the disciples a question, where is your faith? God wants us to trust him no matter what. If we only trust him in the good times, we wouldn't really trust him at all. He wants us to rely on him. If God took care of all of our problems for us before we ever faced them, then we would take him for granted. He wants us to rely on him day by day, moment by moment. I quoted verses 8 and 9, but verse 10 is what I really want to look at. Job said, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, when he has tested me, can I still go on? When I feel like the Lord ain't there, can I still go on? When I don't have nobody to back me up, can I still go on? Because when I've been tested, I come forth as pure gold. When everybody's talking about me, look at him, look at him, look at him, look at him. He thought he was this, he thought, but look at him now, look at him now. He ain't got nothing, he ain't got nothing now, do he? Look at him, y'all busted up, broke down and everything else. I told you his fake, he was fake when he was worshiping. I told you he was fake when he was lifting up holy hands. I told you he was fake, I told you. Look at him now, all busted up and looking like he done wasted down to nothing. Ain't nothing going on in his life. Yeah. But God! It's still right here. God is still on my side. God, you may not see, I may not see, but you want to know how I'm making it? You want to know how I'm going through? That's when God scooped me up, picked me up in his arms. You see me moving, but God is carrying me through my tough stuff, through the hard times. God is carrying me when I'm going through. You see me moving, but you don't see my feet moving because God is carrying me. What an attitude Job had. What a way to look at storms in our life. In a sense, Job was saying, come whatever, I'm still going to trust God. When they woke up Jesus, can I say, when they woke up the Word, when they stirred up the Word, for you and I today, that means to stir up the Word, begin to read the Word, to confess the Word, to praise God according to His Word. His Word was, let us go to the other side. We should have woke up Jesus and said, are we there yet? Well, the disciples cried out to God, and that's what we need to do before we get in trouble, when we get in trouble, and after we're out of trouble. This morning, if you're going through a storm, cry out to God. He will answer. Amen. The disciples was in a crisis. They called out to Jesus, and notice what's next, the command. The command. And he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. They woke up the Word. The Word gave a command. Now I like how Mark recorded it in the King James Version of the Bible. He said they woke up the Master and Jesus said, peace. They woke up the Master and the Master said, peace, be still. Now, if any of us ever been in a storm, storms just don't stop instantly. It takes a while for the wind to die down. Hello, somebody. And then even after the wind has subsided, the waves are still rocking to and fro until they slowly subside. But when Jesus, the Word, spoke a word, peace, be still. The wind stopped, the rain stopped, the waves stopped, everything stopped in an instant. Everything was still in an instant. Peace was everywhere in an instant. I don't know about you, but I like the song that says, our God is an awesome God. Hello, somebody. Do you know we serve an awesome God? Look at somebody and tell him he's an awesome God. Whatever your problem may be this morning, what we need to do is sit still and listen to God's voice. Jesus spoke and commanded the wind to cease. And I believe that Jesus will speak to our problems if we just sit still long enough to listen. People say, God don't care about me. He don't care I'm going through such a hard time. He doesn't care. Well, listen. I believe that God is still speaking if we will stop and listen. The reason why we think he don't care is because we don't hear him. He said, peace. That was the command. But we notice the command Jesus made, but notice what's happening. It was the calm. And they ceased, and there was calm. You got to understand, Jesus came through for the disciples. He calmed the storm and spared their life. I believe today there are some people who are going through some storms in their life. You're facing some difficulties that you can't handle on your own. I want to encourage you to look to the one that can bring calm to the troubled seas of your life. He can take the darkest life and turn it into the brightest life one could ever have. He could take whatever the devil destroyed and turn it around for your good. He want to take care of our problems for us, but we must rely on him. He asked the disciples one simple question, and I want to ask you that question this morning. Yeah. Where is your faith? Uh-huh. Where is your faith? Uh-huh. Where is your faith? I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what you're about to go through. The question this morning is, where is your faith? Where is your faith? The storms of life provides a wonderful test to see exactly where we are in our walk with Christ. Are we fearful or trusting? Do we pray or worry? Are we growing or are we stagnant? Can I say that again? The storms of life provides a wonderful test to see exactly where we are in our walk with Christ. Are we fearful or trusting? Do we pray or worry? Are we growing or are we stagnant? Where is our faith? Is it little or strong? Is our faith in what we can do or what Christ can do in us and through us? Is our faith in the lies that the devil has convinced us of, like the lie that Jesus don't care about you? Where is your faith? If we rely on Jesus, he will calm the troubled storms of our life. No, it doesn't mean that you ever won't face another storm. Hello, somebody. It just means that you will have someone on board who can take care of the winds. You have somebody on board who can take care of the wave. You have somebody on board who can take care of the rain. That's the kind of person I want when I take my ship out. What about you? What about you? We took a little boat ride one time down in the Bahamas. You laughing, First Lady, because you remember. And we set out to sail across the sea to go to another island. It started out like this. The sun was shining and everything. The little boat just taking a little time. But all of a sudden, the wind started blowing. We started holding on a little tighter. The waves started rocking the boat. We hold on a little bit more tight. Uh-huh. Then the rain start coming. We start praying. Amen. That's the process, right? Amen. When you feel your life is in danger, you know when to pray. But you know what? They assured us that we'd be okay, even though the boat was. Hold on. But we learn how to trust God in those times. And I can tell you, you have to be at ease when Jesus is on the inside. Amen? Amen? Jesus, when he said, where is your faith? Jesus was saying to them, I told you we were going over to the other side. You had everything you needed to deal with anything that got in your way. You had me and I'm the Word. If you had really believed my word, you would have rebuked the storm yourself. You could have done it yourself. How many of you have Jesus on the inside? Did he not say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? He said you could speak to some things and make it. He said you have the power of life and death. It's in your tongue. He's here to let us understand that when Jesus is with you, who can stand against you? Can I get a witness? It's easy to believe in Jesus when everything is going well, isn't it? But Jesus is calling his disciples to trust him even when life itself seems to hang in the balance. Where is your faith? Is it in fair weather? Is it in the boat? Is it in your own abilities? Is it in other people? People that believe the word are peculiar people. They look different to the world. When you believe what Jesus has called you to believe, the world don't understand. How can you smile when your world is upside down? People don't understand how you can still stand up tall and stand strong when the world is beating you down. They don't understand when the doctor done told you the bad news and you said, "In God I live and for God I'll die." They can't believe it. They cannot believe it. How can you go on? Most folks would have lost their mind, but the Bible said he'll keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on Jesus. While the world is crying about going under, people with faith are praising about going over. By faith, you already have the victory. By faith, God will move on your behalf. By faith, mountains will be moved. By faith, you'll have power beyond measure. By faith, you can speak life into the deathful situation. By faith, we live and move and have our being. By faith, we can make it through any storm that comes our way. By faith, our destination has already been determined, but we must be determined to reach our destination. Notice, and I'm going to go home, the disciples' final response. Verse 25, they had the nerve to ask, "Who is this? We done seen him heal the sick. We was cool with that. We've seen him. We've seen him raise the dead. We was cool with that. We seen him make the blind see. We was cool with that. Because everything up to this point was dealing with people. We knew he was God. God over people, because he was doing all the miracles with people. But now, who is this? Who is this that the wind and the waves and the rain obey his word? Who am I in this boat with? Who is this? Who is this? This is the one we submit to in the storms of life. This is the one that the storm, when it rises, is able to say, "Peace, be still." Who is this? This is him that brought salvation into the world. This is him that gave sight to the blind. This is him that raised Lazarus from the dead. This is him that picked me up one day when the world tried to knock me down. Who is this? This is him that is able to do immeasurably more than you can ever think or imagine in your life. Who is this? Who is this? Who is this? We done seen him do all, but now, on this boat, this man, woo, Jesus. Well, they probably didn't say, "Oh, Jesus." We say, "Oh, Jesus," because we know who Jesus is. Oh, Lord. This man. Woo. You would have thought after this incident, the disciples would have had no more doubts who they was hanging with. But all the way up to the end, on the mountain of transfiguration, the Bible even said that after Jesus has shown himself after the death, some doubted. But Pastor, if I'm doing what the Lord called me to do, I'm coming to church every week. I'm saying my prayers. I'm reading my Bible. I'm giving my tithes and offering. I'm helping those who need help. Pastor, Why do I still have the storm? Why do I still have the trials? Why do I still have opposition in my life? Well, the answer is in verses 26 through 33. You got to understand what was on the other side of the lake. I come to find out that the other side of the lake was a big metropolis. And they did a lot of hellish stuff on the other side of the lake. On the other side of the lake was a madman who they put out into the graveyards because he would cut himself and he'll beat up people. On the other side of the lake was some messed up folk. On the other side of the lake was a legion of demons. Jews didn't travel to the other side of the lake because there was no folk like them on the other side of the lake. So when this storm had happened, maybe the disciples was thinking, maybe this is a sign from God to keep us from going. How many of us come up with excuses as to why things is happening in our life?
Right.
But you got to understand, Jesus said, let us go. Because some healing had to be done on the other side. Some folk needed to be saved on the other side of the lake. Some wrongs needed to be made right on the other side of the lake. In that boat coming across that lake was the word of God coming to destroy the works of the devil, coming to free a man held in captivities by demons. Many times it's not about you that Satan cares about, but it's about the word that dwells in you. Can I help somebody right now? Can I stay right there? Devil ain't trying to kill you. He's trying to kill the Jesus in you. He didn't care about the disciples. He was trying to kill Jesus. Many times, it's the word that dwells in you, especially when it's about to tear down one of his strongholds. Everything was good for the devil on the other side of the lake. The devil was having his way on the other side of the lake. That's why some folk don't want you to come to their house. That's why some folk don't want you in their business. Oh, you can just stay where you at. You ain't got to come over here. You fine. I come to you. On the other side of the lake, Jesus knew he had some business to handle. And the devil was trying to kill him. If the enemy of our soul is bringing on storms in our life to keep us off balance, God has a response that will always bring us into a place of peace and calm. Remember, just like people can see our natural potential to do something, Satan and his army of demons can see our potential, our spiritual potential. That is like they can see the Spirit of God resting on us. And they understand that we have the potential to do real damage to his kingdom. So before we can start on the battlefield to do this damage, he tries to kill that potential before we ever realize we have it in us. The Bible never told us that storms would not come, but it says if we build on the rock, our house will stand. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 2:14. He said, now thanks be unto God, which always, listen to what he says, which always, not sometime, not every now and then, which always causes us to what?
Triumph.
Tell somebody that means victorious. in Christ Jesus and make manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. So no matter where you go, take Jesus with you. Can I get a witness? Tell him, take Jesus with you. Tell him, take Jesus with you. Tell him, take Jesus with you. Because he says here, we will have triumph. We will be triumph in Christ in every situation if we take Jesus with us. Amen? If God has given you a vision, he has given you the power to bring it to a manifestation. Don't let Satan cloud your path with the storms of life. Believe your compass. Your compass is the Holy Spirit. And use your map, which is the Bible. Set your course and press on. If God be for us, who can stand against us? Therefore, having analyzed this miracle of calming the storm in this chapter, we should exercise our faith in every test that we have in our life. Jesus is God. Jesus is God in human form, who came on a mission to rescue us from the depths of life. The miracles of Jesus of calming the storm is just one demonstration of what he is capable of doing. You got to know that Jesus cares for you. You got to know that he is not oblivious to the trials and tests you're going through right now. He knows what's going on. Call on Jesus. Trust him. Even in the midst of your storm, you got to trust Jesus right now. He'll bring you out just like he did for the disciples. He will speak peace in the midst of your storm. Give the Lord a praise today. Come on, stop it.